Good morning.
Good morning.
This reading is from the Gospel of Luke at chapter 12, starting with verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, meaning Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Friend, who set me to be a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them a parable. The land of a rich man produced abundantly, and he thought to himself, "What should I do? For I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, whose will they be?' So it is with those who store up treasures for themselves, but are not rich toward God." A reading of the word.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, a young man opened the door to his Mercedes, and suddenly a car was going by and sideswiped him and hit the door, and it ripped it off completely. When the police arrived on the scene, the man was complaining just bitterly about the damage to his precious Mercedes. "Officer, look at what that man did. They did to my brand new car." And the police officer was just flabbergasted. He just looked at the man with disgust, and he whined. He said, "You young people are so materialistic. You make me sick. You're so worried about your stupid Mercedes, you didn't even notice that he took off your whole left arm." And the young man was just horrified. He finally looked down at the bloody left shoulder where his arm once was, and he said, "What happened to my Rolex?" So, you know, I had to begin our time together just to relieve the tension, because money is a tense subject, isn't it? I mean, when I saw the lectionary passage today, I thought, this is my fourth Sunday in the pulpit as your pastor, and the text is about money. I thought, stewardship season isn't supposed to be until fall, and what's the deal with the parable of the rich fool in August? Because that's the title of the parable that you just read, the parable of the rich fool. And it's been used in many a stewardship sermon. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life is being demanded of you. And the things you prepared, whose will they be? And so it is with those who store up treasures from themselves, but are not rich toward God." And so now the ushers are going to come back up, and we're going to have a second collection. Or you can scan the QR code or put your check in the, you know. I'm kidding. Yeah. But it is true. Throughout the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is very tough on the rich. And in this gospel, Jesus says in Luke, this is where you get, "Woe to you who are rich, for you've already received your comfort." Here, Jesus says, those of you with two shirts, give the one to somebody else who has none. Here, Jesus says, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven. And biblical scholars, they all agree that Luke's gospel definitely shows that Jesus prefers the poor. Jesus talks a lot about money, but not today. That's not the message. Like it says right in the bulletin, this one is not about money. Because frankly, if we leave it about money, we're going to miss something more important. We need to look closely at the way this parable is told. Jesus tells this parable here, and he uses a lot of humor to make this story right. And I love it when Jesus uses humor. Notice how the man in the parable talks to himself. And I love the way that you read it, Peggy. I love it. A certain rich man's land produced a bountiful crop. And he says, "Self, what shall I do? I have no place to store my harvest." And he thought, "Here's what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And that's where I'll store my grain and goods. I said to myself then, self, you have stored up plenty of goods for several years. Take it easy, eat, drink, be merry, enjoy yourself." Jesus is showing that this rich man's greed has left him so alone. He's so foolish that he's talking to himself. He's making the point that this guy's world has become so small, so self-involved, that he calls himself self. He's got nobody to call, nobody to ask. Himself and all of the grains, that's it. Yeah, so many grains he has to build a bigger barn. And that's what makes him quite proud. But what a fool. What a fool. You think that's going to make you happy? God says, look, this very night your life is going to end, and what do you have to show for it? There's a story, I don't know it's true, but it's about the funeral of Aristotle Onassis. Apparently it was a big parade and quite the show. And as the parade was going by, somebody turned to somebody else and said, "Wow, I wonder how much he left," meaning his estate. And the person they were talking to said, "Well, he left all of it. Because you can't take it with you." And this man, so alone, talking to himself, what does this rich man really have? In this case, his possessions really own him. What a fool. He doesn't have a God to pray to. Me, myself, and I, the unholy Trinity. And the next thing to remember with our holy text every week, every time we pick up the Bible, is that context is everything. Why does Jesus tell this parable right here, right now? Well, he does it in response to the question from the man in the crowd. Jesus is out teaching to a large crowd, and somebody shouts, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And Jesus, he never answers a question directly. At first, he just says, "Hey, who am I to bother with this?" But Jesus knows that this man must be in a sorry state. He has a fight with it, and it's broken down the relationship so much that this man would air his dirty laundry in front of a whole crowd. Apparently, the brothers aren't even talking to each other. The brother wants Jesus to be a referee. Brothers who should love each other are fighting over money. And sadly, this isn't a problem that we've outgrown as a society. I've known families torn apart by this. Brothers, sisters, cousins that still don't speak because of how the assets were distributed after the death of a parent. The reality is that following the death of the last parent, grief can be really profound. Grief is so many layered. Even if you weren't particularly close, especially if you had a fraught relationship with the last living parent. I don't know about you, your experience, or those whom you love, but once you've lost both mother and father, when your final parent dies, there's that weird realization that you're an orphan, you know, whether you're 30 or 50 or 70. And hopefully at that time, the siblings come together and they grieve and they can support each other, but not here. In the case of the man asking the question of Jesus, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Well, how sad. How foolish, Jesus says. And so Jesus uses his creative storytelling, as he did so often, to remind this brother, hey, listen, I don't know what the details are, but your brother is worth more than all the money. Your relationship is what matters, not the money. Jesus says to him, guard yourself against greed. Guard yourself against that selfishness. Life isn't determined by one's possessions, even if someone's very wealthy. The point of this parable isn't that wealth or possessions are bad. It's when other stuff becomes so important that our relationships, our connection to each other suffers, and our relationship to God suffers. Anything that we put between ourselves and God's children, anything that we do, that puts space between us and God, and that's when the brokenness occurs. And Jesus told this story to the brother and to anybody else in the crowd. And I've had all week to sit with this and ask my own self, what am I putting between myself and God? What riches am I storing up here on earth that are keeping me from my relationships with God, with my brothers and sisters, with my siblings? I'm still puzzling over it. I don't have a lot of material riches. I mean, I certainly do compared to so many. I know that. I know I'm a very privileged person materially. I know that. And I also know that there are ways I am rich beyond measure in relationships. But what do I put ahead? My ego? My own false belief that I can be the helper, that I can solve people's problems, that I can do all of these things without taking a rest, without seeking advice from God, from other people? My own vanity. I'm sure I know there are a lot of things that I put between God, my own prejudices. I still puzzle over this. I know there are places where I am broken. And as far as planning and the financial aspect goes, because money is important and where we put our assets are important, I've been told I know it's important to plan for retirement. at least for an expensive car repair or dental emergency, new tires, root canals, those fun things adults get to think about. But how much is enough to have in the savings? And how much is too much that it keeps me from a full relationship with God? And how much worry about tomorrow or the day after or the possibility of next year keeps me from caring for the needs that my sisters and brothers have right now? I found another little parable that I've been praying over. And I'll leave us with this one today to contemplate. There was a very rich man. He died and he left his inheritance equally to his two sons. And one son had married young in life and had a large and happy family. And the other son was still a bachelor. And the night after the estate was divided, the single man sat alone in his living room. And he said, "How did my dad make such a mistake? There's my brother, and he has all those kids, and his wife, and he has all those mouths to feed, and so many to provide for. And me, it's just me, I have more than I could ever use. Why did Dad divide the estate in half? He should have given a lot more to my brother for his family." And at the very same time, across town, the other brother, when the wife and kids were asleep, he thought, "Why did Dad divide the estate equally? I'm surrounded by this loving family. I have all this joy, and my brother is alone. I have a family to take care of me, and he's going to need financial security to take care of him in his future. Why? He should have given my brother more so that he would be secure in his old age." So each man that night resolved to place the majority of his inheritance in a suitcase and take it over and hide it where the other brother would be sure to find it and use it. And so they happened to meet on their way, and they discovered what they each had intended, and they fell into each other's arms, meeting in love. And that was exactly what their dad had hoped they would do. And I believe that's what our Heavenly Father, our loving mother, wants for us. But we would put our relationships with one another, with all of creation, ahead of our money or our ego or our toys or our cars or our traditions or our watches. And then share from the abundance of our barns, which are much bigger than we might imagine, so that all of our siblings would have enough grain, so that we would all receive the sustenance and provision in the arms of God.